قدم لكم هذا البرنامج من إذاعة البيان من سيدني، صوت أهل السنة والجماعة.
البيان راديو presents the following lesson live from مسجد الأزهر بالمر.
والآن مع النقل المباشر من مسجد الأزهر في بالمر سيدني.
البيان راديو presents an explanation of كتاب الإيمان from صحيح مسلم presented by Sheikh Muhammad Duar.
الحمد لله والصلاة والسلام على رسول الله وعلى آله وصحبه ومن اهتدى بهدى. أما بعد, my dearly respected brothers and sisters, we resume tonight بإذن الله تعالى with the explanation of كتاب الإيمان, the book of faith, from the great book صحيح مسلم for Imam Muslim رحمه الله. And today we take a new hadith, and that is the hadith of Sunabihi radiyallahu ta'ala anhu wa rahimahullah, who said that he went to the great companion Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu as he was dying. This man Sunabihi, he visited the Sahabi Ubadah ibn Samit radiyallahu ta'ala anhu as Ubadah was on his deathbed, about to pass away. So Sunabihi, he said, I began to cry when he saw the companion of Rasulullah sallallahu in that position. He said, so Ubadah radiyallahu anhu said to me, allow me some time so that I may talk to you. So Ubadah is now telling this man who's crying because he can see Ubadah is about to pass away. Ubadah says to him, let me speak to you. He says, why do you weep? Ubadah radiyallahu anhu is asking this man, why are you crying? He said, by Allah, if I am asked to bear witness, I will testify for you, Sunabihi. Ubadah is telling him, why are you crying? By Allah, if me, Ubadah ibn Samit, if I am asked to testify in the next life, I will testify that you, Sunabihi, are a believer. He said, and if I was asked to intercede, to do a shafa'ah, I would certainly intercede for you. He said, and if I have the power, I would certainly do good for you. And then he said, by Allah, never did I hear anything from Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam which could have been a source of benefit to you and then not conveyed it to you except this single hadith. Ubadah is telling this man, there is nothing that I heard from the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam which is a benefit except I taught it to you. He's talking to this man, Sunabihi. He said, except this following hadith. This is the only hadith I have not taught to you, Sunabihi. And then he said, I intend to narrate it to you today. Ubadah, today he wants to mention that hadith because he's on his deathbed. He's about to pass away. He said, I heard the Messenger sallallahu alaihi wasallam say, whoever testifies to La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, Allah would prohibit the hellfire from him. That was the hadith. Whoever testifies to La ilaha illallah and Muhammad Rasulullah, Allah makes the hellfire forbidden on him. So this hadith, my brothers and sisters, it consists of a companion, Ubadah radiyallahu ta'ala anhu, Ubadah ibn Samit, who is about to pass away, and Sunabihi, who is the student of Ubadah. And when Sunabihi saw his teacher, the companion, that he is on his deathbed, he began to cry. And the ulama said, he cried for one or two reasons, or for both. Either from what he can see from the hardship that Ubadah is going through. Because as the Prophet ﷺ said, death has its stages. There is sakaratul maut, the agony of death, which everyone goes through. But it's possible that Sunabihi is crying because he can see the struggle that Ubadah radiallahu anhu is going through towards the end of his life. Or he cried because he's going to miss his teacher and he's not going to be able to benefit from his knowledge anymore. He could have cried for one of those reasons. Imam al-Qadi, rahimahullah, he said this hadith is proof that Ubadah ibn Samit radiallahu anhu withheld that which he feared could be a fitna on some people if they misunderstood it. Ubadah radiallahu anhu, because this hadith he never taught it before, but because he was passing away, he became afraid that he might die and he's withholding knowledge. That's the only reason he narrated the hadith. But before that, Ubadah radiallahu anhu was afraid to narrate this hadith. Why? Because it could have been misunderstood by some people who lack knowledge. And we will go into the explanation of this based on the next hadith also. The hadith also teaches us that it is permissible to cry over the one who is ill and the one who is dying. That's part of the religion. Yeah? Having a soft heart is from Islam. And if you see a loved one, who is dying and you cry, this is acceptable and it's permissible. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, when he saw one of his grandchildren, the child of his daughter, was ill, and it was as though the child was dying, but it didn't die, subhanallah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam began to cry. And next to him was a man from the Bedouins. And the Bedouin man, he found it strange that the Prophet ﷺ was crying over his daughter's child, over his grandchild. So the man asked the Prophet ﷺ, he said, "Do you cry over children?" Ola afwan, this is referring to the kissing of the child. And Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam kissed one of his grandchildren. And the Bedouin asked him, "Do you kiss the children?" And the Prophet ﷺ said, "Yes." So the man said, "By Allah, I have 10 children and I don't kiss them." So the Prophet ﷺ said to him, "What can I do if Allah has removed the mercy from your heart?" Now the Prophet ﷺ was affectionate and he would cry. And when his daughter's child became sick, he cried. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and he said, this is a mercy that Allah places in the heart of the believers. This is from the deen. And especially when the Sahaba radiallahu anhum would be approaching death, their students would cry because they understood the importance of the companions. And the same applies to the ulama of Islam. We should be mourning when our scholars of Islam pass away, because this is the passing of knowledge. And the hadith, my brothers and sisters, also teaches us how great Ubadah ibn Samit's understanding of the religion was. Because he didn't teach this hadith in particular to everyone. He didn't teach the hadith just to anyone and everyone, but rather he taught it to those who were students of knowledge and those who could understand, like his student. Out of fear that the ignorant will use the hadith to abandon actions. Why would the Sahaba hesitate in teaching these types of hadiths? Not because there is anything wrong with the hadith. The deen is perfect. The Quran and the Sunnah is perfect. But when you have a hadith where the Prophet ﷺ here says, whoever testifies to La ilaha illallah, then the hellfire is forbidden. People who lack understanding of the religion could take that hadith to mean, if you say La ilaha illallah, that's enough, you go to paradise. And that's why the Sahaba radiallahu anhum used to hesitate in teaching these types of hadiths unless they explained them. And they taught them to those who understood them well. And in the hadith, it says Allah will prohibit him from the hellfire. Allah will save whoever testifies to La ilaha illallah from hellfire. Many of the scholars said the meaning of this is he will be prohibited from abiding in hellfire for eternity. It means he will not be in hellfire forever. If he enters, he will exit. And based on this, then every muwahhid is in this category, including the major sinners. And some of the scholars said the meaning of the shahadatain here is to perfect them. And if you perfect them, you will be protected from hellfire entirely. Now, the next hadith, my brothers and sisters, is the hadith of Mu'adh ibn Jabal radiallahu anhu. And Imam Muslim narrates on a couple of narrations, maybe three or four narrations of the same hadith. It's the famous hadith of Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu, where Mu'adh radiallahu anhu says, I was riding behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and there was nothing between him and me except a rare part of the saddle. They were both on an animal, on a donkey. They were both riding on a donkey. And Mu'adh radiallahu anhu is saying, I was behind the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And he says, I was that close to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, there was nothing between me and him except the back of the saddle, between him and Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as they were on the animal, he called Mu'adh. He said, O Mu'adh. And then Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, Labbaik wa sa'daik, which means, I answer your call, O Messenger of Allah. He said he moved along for a few minutes, and then again he said, Mu'adh. Subhanallah, he called him once, then after a bit he called him again, Mu'adh. And again, Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, Labbayka wa sa'dayk. And then he said, he moved along for a few minutes, and then he said, O Mu'adh. And then he replied the same, Labbayk wa sa'dayk. Then the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam asked him the following question. Why would the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam call him three times? And Mu'adh will respond, to bring his attention to what he's about to say. When you call someone multiple times, it's to emphasize on the importance of what you're going to say. It's like when you say, Muhammad, Muhammad, Muhammad. It's going to bring his attention that you're about to tell him something great. And that's what the Prophet ﷺ done. And then after the third time, he asked him, do you know what Allah's rights upon His servants is? Do you know what Allah's haqq upon His servants is? Mu'adh said, so I said, Allah and His Messenger know best. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then said, verily, the right of Allah over His servants is that they should worship Him without associating anything with Him. That's Allah's haqq upon us. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam then moved for a few minutes, and then he called Mu'adh again. Mu'adh! And then Mu'adh radiallahu anhu again, from his manners, he said, Labbayka wa sa'dayk. And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, Do you know what the rights of the servants is upon Allah? And then Mu'adh radiallahu anhu said, Allah and His Messenger know best. He said that He will not punish anyone who worships Him without associating any partners. That is your right upon Allah. That if you fulfill Allah's right from worshipping Him with no partners, then it's your right upon Allah that He does not punish you. What a beautiful hadith. And then Imam Muslim mentions the next narration, which is the same hadith, but in the next narration, at the end, Mu'adh asks the Prophet ﷺ, and he said, Ya Rasulullah, this is great news. Should I not give glad tidings to the people? Shouldn't I go tell the people of this amazing news that you told me? And then the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, do not tell them, for they would then rely on it alone. Look at this. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam taught Mu'adh. Mu'adh was from the scholars of the Sahaba. He knew Mu'adh will understand what this hadith means. Then when Mu'adh radiallahu anhu asked, should I inform the people? The Prophet ﷺ told him, no. Because if you do, the one who does not have understanding, correct understanding of the religion, might rely on this, meaning he might abandon doing actions and think that it's enough just to say La ilaha illallah. And then Imam Muslim mentions the next hadith, the next narration, which is of the same hadith. And then he mentions the other one also. So this hadith, my brothers and sisters, there's a lot of lessons the ulama derived from it. The first is the fact that Mu'adh radiallahu anhu was behind Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam on the back of a donkey. And this shows the humbleness of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that he would ride the donkey. Yeah? Whereas in his time, and even in our time and before, the kings and the leaders, and you would never find them or see them on a donkey. They would have their major large entourage, and they will be on the best of camels and horses, and even though the Prophet ﷺ did ride those as well. But the Prophet ﷺ was humble enough to even ride a donkey if it was needed, and it was there. He did not have pride, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And not only ride it, he would have a companion on the back with him. And back then, that's impossible for a leader. The leader will probably have 10 horses for himself leading his carriage. Huh? But that shows you the humbleness of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. The hadith shows that it's permissible for two people to ride on an animal. It's permissible. You can ride a horse and have someone behind you. You can ride a camel and have someone behind you, and so forth. It also teaches us the greatness of Mu'adh radiallahu anhu, because the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam allowed him to be on the back with him, and that's an honor for Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The hadith also teaches us, my brothers, the fear of relying only on Allah's mercy without having fear. The hadith, it teaches us that you cannot rely only on Allah's mercy without having fear of Allah. Because a person that has too much hope in Allah's mercy will abandon actions. And they will see the sins to be easy. That no matter what I do, Allah's forgiving me, I'm a Muslim. That's a dangerous misunderstanding of the religion. That's what led to irja, the murji'a. This hadith teaches us to be cautious of that. The hadith also teaches us that it's from the manners when a person does not know the answer to something, that he says Allah knows best. That's what Mu'adh radiallahu anhu would reply. Mu'adh replied, Allah and His Messenger know best. because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم was alive and he was speaking to him. So he would say, Allah and his messenger know best. As for us today, the ulama say, we don't say Allah and his messenger know best. If you're asked a question and you don't know it, you don't say Allah and his messenger know best. You say Allah knows best. Because Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم has passed away now. Nah. It also teaches us that it is permissible to withhold knowledge for a benefit. Because even Rasulullah ﷺ told Mu'adh, don't teach this to the people. In case the one who lacks understanding relies on it. Okay, the question is, then why did Mu'adh radiallahu anhu teach it? How did we get the hadith if the Prophet ﷺ told him, don't teach it to the people? Can anyone give us an answer? He taught people of understanding. Excellent. That's number one. And number two, same previous reason. He feared withholding knowledge if he passed away. Yeah? He feared withholding knowledge. These are examples of the Sahaba knowing things from the Prophet ﷺ and then they conveyed it before their death out of fear of withholding knowledge. And inshallah, we will continue with the benefit of this hadith in our next lesson, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala. Wallahu a'lam. Wa sallallahu wa sallam wa barak ala nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa sallam. Are there any questions?
This program was presented by Al Bayan Radio, the voice of Ahl Sunnah wal Jama'ah.
La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. Lahul mulk wa lahul hamd bi yadihi al khair. Yuhyi wa yumit wa huwa ala kulli shay'in qadir. La ilaha illallah wahdahu la sharika lah. له الملك وله الحمد بيده الخير يحيي ويميت وهو على كل شيء قدير لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له له الملك وله الحمد.
إذاعة البيان تقدم لكم هذا البرنامج سائلين الله عز وجل أن ينفعنا به.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم، الحمد لله رب العالمين، والصلاة والسلام على نبينا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين. قال المصنف رحمه الله تعالى: الحديث 37 عن ابن عباس رضي الله عنه.